the marriage of Peleus and Thetis. There was a time once when the earth was new, and there were no men and no women in the world. The sea surged and frothed between its shores, and the green deeps were full of fish. Birdsong trembled in the air, and on the land crawled and ran all sorts of animals, but it was a world empty of people. This was the time when Zeus the Thunderer fought against his terrible father, Cronos, to be lord of all creation. This struggle between the gods was long and violent. At times it looked as though the gods would destroy the whole world with their fighting. The sky darkened as they tore up whole mountains to hurl at each other in their rage and battled with blinding whirlwinds and furious hurricanes. After centuries of struggle, Cronos was finally defeated and banished from the earth. With peace, Zeus decided to create the first people. They pleased him so much, he would leave his home on Mount Olympus to walk disguised among them. Indeed, the daughters of these new people of the earth were so beautiful that sometimes Zeus, the Thunderer, lavished his love on them and they had his children. And so began what is known as the Age of Heroes. But something was wrong. Even though Cronos had been defeated, Zeus was still anxious. He knew there existed a dark prophecy which told that he too would be overthrown, just as he had overthrown his father. He could not relax until he found the key to the prophecy and how he might avoid his ruin and destruction. Time passed, and more time. At last, Zeus discovered the words to the prophecy and the way to escape his doom. The prophecy said, "The son of Thetis, the sea nymph, shall be greater than his father." If Zeus had a child with this sea nymph, the king of the gods would be overthrown by his son, just as he had defeated Cronos. Now Thetis was the loveliest of all the sea nymphs, and Zeus the Thunderer had long desired her. She lived with her father, Nereus, the old man of the sea, in a palace of caves under the ocean. Thetis had flashing eyes of blue-green, the colour of the deepest sea, and she moved as gracefully as a fish glides through water. On her feet, she wore silver sandals that sparkled like the ocean, scattered with starlight at night. But Zeus decided, because of the prophecy, no matter how lovely she was and how much he desired her, Thetis should marry a mortal. In his wisdom, he chose Peleus, prince of Thessaly. This is how it happened. Now at that time, Peleus lived on Mount Pelion, the pupil of Chiron the centaur, a half-man, half-horse. Just as a young prince was required to, he was learning the arts of war and hunting. Early one morning, when the chariot of Helios, the sun god, had barely risen in the east and the crescent moon was just sinking below the horizon in the west, Peleus was sitting on a great rock, gazing out over the Aegean Sea. His eye was caught by a movement on the water, and he saw, dancing over the waves towards him, the most beautiful creature he had ever seen. He watched, enchanted by the sea nymph's beauty, as Thetis stepped lightly from the crest of a wave onto the shore, clothed in a wonderful robe of sea green, woven by naiads, the nymphs of rivers and springs. Just then, a voice murmured in Peleus' ear, and the sound was as soft as the wind whispering through ancient forests. "Behold, Peleus," it said. "Behold the beautiful sea nymph Thetis, daughter of Nereus, whom even the immortals have wooed and lost. Though she does not know it, she has been sent here to be won and wed by you." Peleus turned to see the speaker, but saw only a cloud of sea mist. When he turned back to where Thetis had been, the shore was deserted. All day Peleus waited for Thetis to return, but the shadows grew long and the evening came without her. So Peleus sought out Chiron, his teacher, and described what had happened to him. Why?